Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. For the mighty things you do, I worship you. 'Cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out. My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. Praise your name, 'cause the victory is mine. I praise your name, 'cause the light in me can finally shine. Your blessings will be always mine. That's why I live, Lord. For always and forever, my purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life is nice to live for.
Good morning. It's time for Josie's Inspiration, and I am Josie, and today I'm excited to be with you. It's July the 15th, and when I last was with you, it was June 17th, and we have been on a pause for prayer and consecration during the fourth celebration. And I pray that you and your family had a safe and a reflective time during the 4th of July celebration. Today, my conversation returns to A to Z essential oils for cancer care. And I'm excited about this because I really take time to think about my experience as a cancer victor, those who may be going through a diagnosis with cancer, those who are caregivers for those who have been diagnosed with cancer. And so it's a topic that, in addition to it being personal, I feel that there is so much more that we individually can do to support those who have been diagnosed and are experiencing cancer in their lives. I'm excited again because I know that as I share this information, it's going to bless someone. But I do want to always give that disclaimer that the information that I am sharing is from my personal experience as a cancer victor, my experience being an essential oils enthusiast. It is not intended to diagnose you, to tell you what to do in your personal journey with cancer, or to encourage you to do anything other than what your doctor tells you. I've been extremely blessed to have doctors who have been supportive of me as I have looked at alternative ways to care for myself when I experience cancer. Cancer is not the end of the world. There's so many opportunities that come out of it. And for me, cancer has been a blessing. It has been the answer to my freedom. And it has given me a platform to speak from my heart about something that I personally experienced. So take the information that I share and share it with those who you care about. Also, always check with your doctor before you begin to do anything different outside of the treatment that he or she recommends for you. And so today, we're going to talk about the letter H, a condition that is affecting many cancer patients, is hair loss. Hair loss, you know, I think that's probably one of the first things that a cancer patient thinks about when they hear the words cancer, chemotherapy, radiation. We think about, oh my God, I'm going to lose my hair. And what does that mean when I lose my hair? Now, I love India Ivory. She has a song, I Am Not My Hair. And truly, we are not our hair. But as women, particularly, our hair is an identifying factor of who we are. And so we spend countless hours in the beauty salon, getting our hair fixed, changing styles, colors, making sure that we look as beautiful as we can. Sometimes when we don't feel that way on the inside. And so going through that process of beginning to think about a cancer diagnosis, thinking about the treatment of chemotherapy and radiation and other treatments that the doctors may recommend, for me, my first thought, of course, after realizing that, no, you're not going to die, and overcoming the fear of what was going to happen to me on the other side of cancer, that fear was, I'm going to lose my hair. What will I do without my hair? Now, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and so I've worn head wraps, and I've worn, you know, many different styles of head wraps. African styles, because I went away to a private school when I was 13, and one of the things that I did not have was a local beautician because I was in the rural area of a town called Williamstown, Massachusetts. What I did have was a faculty member who was from the South, a beautiful black woman, Leslie, who would go into Albany, New York, and she would get us hair products so that the black girls on campus could take care of their hair. But because I was 13 going on 14, I didn't know anything about taking care of my hair. I had an electric straightening comb that my mom had bought me and some electric curlers, and literally I burned my hair a great deal. But it was important to me how my hair was cared for, how my hair looked. So as I tried to take care of my hair and make it curly like my mom would do when I was at home, I realized that was not something I could do, and so I changed my style to an afro. And I spent many countless hours in the mirror taming and picking and creating sheen for my afro, creating styles, doing braiding, creating ways that I could look beautiful with my hair. And so hair for women is an identifying factor. And the thought of losing your hair upon a diagnosis of cancer is very overwhelming. This morning I was thinking about, the topic today, and I decided to do a little searching online, and I found a beautiful article that was written by a woman, and it is from an article called Yoga Inside Out. And the woman who wrote the article talked about chemo and dealing with hair loss. And the things that she shared were the things that I felt. And I wanted to just kind of reiterate to myself that I was not alone in the process of feeling that I was going to go through something traumatic when I lost my hair. And so some of the things that she wrote down that I'm going to just kind of talk about my experience as well. One was that I'll be recognized as chemo or as cancer. For a person diagnosed with cancer, we own that diagnosis. It's not foreign from us because it is consuming us. We see ourselves as cancer. We believe others see us as cancer. And cancer is a stamp of sickness. And loss of hair validates that stamp of sickness. And so how do you make that transition from being a woman with hair and what we perceive as our own created beauty to perceiving ourselves as someone who's lacking in something that is so crucial, losing your hair. Now, we cut our hair, we style our hair. I don't know very many women or men, for that fact, who on purpose decide to go bald or to shave all their hair off. Usually it's as a result of something that's going on with them that makes them decide that they don't want to have hair. Now, I do remember a friend during her early motherhood, chose to shave her hair because the hair just got in the way of her life. And so, hair can be overrated for the energy we put into it. But when you don't have a choice about what you're going to do with your hair or about your hair, and when you lack that choice because of a diagnosis such as cancer, it becomes even more devastating than just the diagnosis itself. So why does chemo cause you to lose your hair? Well, the drugs that chemo is comprised of are very powerful medications, and they attack rapidly growing cancer cells. But unfortunately, those medications don't distinguish between healthy cells and sick cells. And so the cells in your body are affected overall. And your cells for your hair become infected, the roots. Those cells become affected. And not just the hair on your head, your eyebrows, eyelashes, armpits, all the body hair can fall out. And some chemo drugs cause it more rapidly or more prevalently than others. But this is something that a cancer patient expects, that they're going to lose their hair. So in my first diagnosis, in the midst of me dealing with the fact that I had cancer and that there was a treatment that I was going to have to go through for a period of time, I was going to have radiation, I was going to have chemotherapy, my life was going to be disrupted, I was not going to be able to go to work, I was not going to be able to go out in the sun, I was not going to be able to go out and eat at a buffet, I was going to have some restrictions on my life. Amidst all of that, I also had to think about the fact that I'm not going to be able to hide under my hair. I'm going to be exposed. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be naked without my hair. And that was very devastating. But it happened anyway. I lost my hair, and I began to try to wear the head wraps that I had worn when I was in school, only to find that there was nothing to secure them. Because in school, I could wrap them and go about my merry way, but my hair was there to help secure them to my head. And so imagine the first time me trying to wrap my hair, there was no hair, I was wrapping my head, but what happened was in the process, it kept sliding off. And I thought, this isn't even going to work. So I resorted to buying wigs. And I remembered the day clearly that I was bold enough to come out of my house without a wig on, without a scarf on, without a hat on, and just walk outside bald-headed. And it took a whole lot of courage. And all I did was walk from the door to my mailbox. But I stood in that door for a long time looking to see if there were any neighbors outside. And if they saw me, what would they say? And what would I say back to them? And then finally I thought, I don't care. I want to walk outside. I don't want to cover up. I just want to be free and be me. And so I went out the door and I stepped off my porch. And when I thought I was going to go out, I didn't think there were any neighbors. But then as soon as I stepped toward the mailbox, I saw a neighbor. But I felt good because I was proud of myself for just taking that step to come out of my home without my head being covered and to allow myself to show my bald head. It was bald as a baby's behind, not a strand on it, didn't have any eyebrows, didn't have my eyelashes. And so, you know, there was that starkness that I had seen in the mirror that now I'm confronted with that, wow, my neighbor sees me too. But it's okay because I stood there and I threw my hand up and I said, hi. I grabbed my mail and I rushed back in the house. And I felt good, but I felt terrified because now I did this. They saw me. What are they going to say now? But I put on my best face and I said, hi. I put a smile on and I was hoping that all that I did with the smile and with my presence would overshadow the fact that I looked like cancer. Because in my mind, that's what I did look like. And so hair can start falling out within 2 to 4 weeks after you start a treatment. It can fall out in clumps or it can fall out gradually. I started to notice in the very beginning that there would be loose hairs on my pillow. And so as the hair came out, I just began to just kind of pull it out until it was all out. And I cried every single time I did that. Now, fast forward to my second cancer diagnosis. I decided I was going to be in control of the situation. And once I knew that the hair was going to start coming out, I cut it off myself. I was not going to wait and see it come out little by little in clumps here and there, or see it on my clothes or on my pillowcase. I decided I took control of my own situation and I cut it off myself. There's something empowering about making decisions for ourselves, even in the midst of diagnoses. We have to be strong enough to decide that we can move through it and we can do it with faith and with fervor to get to the outcome. I didn't have to wait for cancer to take something away from me. I could decide myself that I was going to remove the hair first. So if you're going through cancer treatments or you know somebody who's going through cancer treatments, and of course I'm talking about essential oils, then you're probably thinking, well, Josie, is there an oil that can stop the hair from coming out? Well, I don't know that an oil will stop the hair from coming out. There are lots of things in the market now that they talk about, cool caps that cool the scalp, that cause the follicles to narrow so that they don't come out, that causes some restriction within the scalp to help hold the hair in. But what I do know is there are essential oils that can benefit you even in the midst of losing your hair or trying to maintain your hair. And so I'm going to take these few minutes now to talk about four oils. And first I'm going to talk about rosemary, because rosemary is my favorite oil for my hair. It's an oil that I've talked about before as an oil of remembrance because, you know, it affects the head. But rosemary as an oil for the hair has anti-dandruff properties. It helps to regulate sebum glands and clears up clogged pores that can cause acne and itchy scalp. But it helps invigorate the scalp. So a lot of times I like to add some rosemary and just massage my scalp. So using an oil like a rosemary with a carrier oil, like a jojoba or an apricot or grapeseed oil, you can create oil to massage your scalp, to help support your scalp and make sure that you're supporting your immune system as well. And so rosemary is an oil that can do that. It's a great oil. It also smells really good. And it also is anti-inflammatory. And so it can help prevent infections that you may get, you know, because your body is now vulnerable. With chemo, all of my immune system was highly affected. And so I did not have the white blood cells to fight infections. And so oils can be very beneficial in that way. And then cedarwood. Cedarwood is another favorite oil that I have. Again, it's an oil that can be very calming to the nerves, which there are nerves in the skin, and it can help reduce infections of the scalp and hair-related needs. It's very good as an oil to help calm your nerves, and definitely when you're going through this type of diagnosis, you're going to have some anxious moments, and your nerves are going to be on edge. Then the other oil that I want to talk about, peppermint. Well, peppermint, if you think about sucking a peppermint or eating some peppermint candy, it's very cooling and refreshing. And when you're going through chemo and the process of having your hair and your scalp be affected, you can have that dryness. You can have some itching in your scalp. And peppermint is cooling, also very anti-inflammatory. And it can help as well because it helps to open up the pores and help to increase the flow of oils, which is very good for helping to rejuvenate hair follicles and promoting hair growth. And so the cedarwood, the rosemary, the peppermint are three really good oils that you can use. Now, there are others like lavender, tea tree, which is very anti-inflammatory and very good for helping also with any infections. But there's another oil that I like, and it's one of our favorite blends with Youngevity International, which is the company that I get my oils from, and it is called Y23 Immune. I love it because it helps to help the lymphatic system to kill unwanted intruders in the body. And so it's really good for supporting the skin and protecting our skin. And so the Y23 is a blend, but it has in it that rosemary. It has lime and lavender and spearmint and peppermint. It has so many oils that can be so beneficial for that cancer patient as they're dealing with hair loss. So I hope the information that I'm sharing with you today will help you, whether you have cancer or somebody that you know has cancer. Hair loss can be devastating. And these oils and the things that I have shared have been from my personal experience to help share A to Z essential oils for cancer care. It's Josie Hopkins, and I'm pleased to be with you today with Josie's Inspiration, Radio Network USA World, and I'll be back in just 2 weeks, and we'll talk about the letter I. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in to Rev. Lydia Speaks. I am so glad to be here today. I want to talk to you today about the power that your words actually have and how to avoid self-sabotage by using the wrong words. This is one of the most exciting conversations that you can have with yourself, because on the other side of it comes emotional freedom. I'm talking about the type of freedom and true joy you were born to have. It's a step-by-step process of breaking through fear, denial, anger, and other strong but negative emotions. Self-sabotage is the outward manifestation of your inner feelings of shame and unworthiness. I'm going to say that again. Self-sabotage is the outer manifestation of your inner feelings of shame and unworthiness. So to get rid of this saboteur, we have to realize how he operates in your life. So let's first remember that the Bible says the power of life and death are in the tongue. In other words, your words have power. So let's think about how you address yourself, how you see yourself, and how you respond to how others may see you. Let's say it's in a particular area like finances or health. What are you putting out and what are you getting out of not thriving or thriving in these areas? By playing yourself or your divine perfect health cheap, by saying that the job you want is probably too advanced for you, and yes, you are getting something out of it, or the thought wouldn't be there. We are propelled by our belief system. Now, I'm not saying it is true, just that it's what you believe to be true, and there is a difference. It may be that sometime in your life you heard that you were not supposed to have money, or you've heard that you were not supposed to have nice things, or even that you have to struggle for what you get, and that struggling is noble and builds character. But that was most likely said by someone who didn't have what they wanted, and that was their way of coping with the lack they ultimately created by making that statement in the first place. So as real as poverty and sickness are, at some point it may have been a race-conscious suggestion. And by that I mean that for whatever reason that the rumor got started that people of a certain background or ethnicity can only go this far and no more, be educated this much and no more, or be worth this job and nothing better. That was only planted to make someone with no knowledge of who they are or that God is no respecter of person feel better about themselves. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life abundantly," meaning, "I have come to let you know that you are living in a unified field of awareness where what you see and believe for yourself is what you get. Be aware of how you talk and think, because it is all cyclical. If you think you'll never have enough, or even that something's going to happen, it'll come together at the end, but you have to struggle all in the meanwhile, that is what will happen, proving you right. And most people will do anything to be right, even suffer. Now, brothers and sisters, that's crazy 101. God created you to thrive and to grow and to learn and to bring to bear all of the fruits of the knowledge this journey called life has to teach you. If when you sit down and think about all of the reasons that you didn't do well in an area and you meditate on it and it takes you back to your childhood, it'll take you back as far as that sometimes, because sometimes that's where it started. So start there and recreate your feelings. Take your six-year-old self and help her with the feelings of unworthiness for not being something simple as being picked first for a game, or your teen self for not having a date to the dance or not thinking that you were handsome enough or pretty enough or good enough to have friends, or even your adult self for not getting that promotion. Go through your circle of life with intention. Not of finding someone else to blame, but rather with the knowledge of the intention being one with cause and effect. What was the intention of saying you have so much lack? Was it to get sympathy or to beg out of something you didn't want to do? So then you end up with the effect being you are never invited out with others because they just don't feel like hearing your horror stories. Your playing pitiful backfired on you, didn't it? Now, as you go through rough patches of seeming lack or betrayal, remember to be kind to yourself and know there was a time that I thought of this, but no more. Now I know I am whole, perfect, and complete, just looking for an opportunity to manifest that feeling. That's what Christ did every day. And he said, these things I do, you can do also, and more. Now add that to your belief system, just for emotional support tip. Join the God of you in enjoying yourself as the Christ-centered being that you are. And it takes time to unlearn some false thoughts, so in the meantime, love yourself. It is said that human behavior springs from three sources, and those three sources are desire, emotion, and knowledge. So let's break down these three things. Desire. What does it mean to desire something? When you want something, what is the first thing that you do? What's the first step that you take in getting it? You talk about it constantly, don't you? You dream of what it will be like when you get that special thing, and you let it be known to everyone in earshot that this is what you want, and you let them know as plainly as you can. And you do it in a positive manner. But now the emotion comes into play. And sometimes emotions swing like a pendulum. I've had emotions that they go from, I will be so happy and satisfied when I receive whatever it is, to, this is just a stupid dream. What makes me think I could ever have it? Now, after wishing, dreaming, and talking about it now, stop. This is where your knowledge comes in. Remember, I said that self-sabotage is an outward manifestation of your inner thoughts and feelings. Remember? When you can fall back on the way God sees you, what he says about you, when you can remember that you were made in his own image and that Jesus himself gave you the right to bind or loose as you see fit, then that positive knowledge of who you really are and how important you are to God's plan and to God himself has to compel you to speak about yourself with positivity. You can't do anything else. If you are the emissary and you know that you are made in God's image and likeness, there's nothing else you can do but speak positive about yourself, because you're actually speaking positive about the God of you. I always say the words after the two most important words, I am, means the God of me is. You'll remember that you have been given the right from the moment you were conceived to have, be, and give anything that you want. And we really have to stop thinking bad. And every time we feel unworthy of receiving better, we stop the divine flow. The only thing that can stop the flow of blessing from source to you is your stinking thinking and self-sabotaging things we say about ourselves. And worse yet, the words we browbeat others with. Know this, we are held accountable for the things we do, for the things that we say that may cause someone else to doubt that they matter, to feel ashamed or unworthy. Your words have power. And Christ said, for whatever you do to the least of these, you do the same to me. Now, when he said that, it's easy to think, well, Christ, I haven't seen you. And this person really gets on my nerves. And sometimes I just don't feel like it's worth my time to go and talk to them. And they don't listen anyway. You may have been given that person as your assignment. Think about that, your assignment. When we were young and we were in school, our assignments meant so much to us, and we did everything we could to try to get everything right. Now, I'm not saying waste all of your breath, waste all of your time, because there's other ways that you can complete your assignment. If you come into contact with someone that is just absolutely so disturbed and so directed to sabotage themselves, rather than you trying to talk to them, you stand in the gap and pray for their understanding. Understanding and wisdom is the most important thing. When people come and they talk to you, sometimes they may be even talking down to you. You have to stand in the promises of God. Know that God has already made adjustments for you. He knows what's happening. He knows what you need, and he will give you all the strength. You just have to remember, everybody doesn't glean the same amount of knowledge at the same time. When people are talking badly to you, when people are talking down to you, they just don't understand. They don't know who they are. They don't want to accept who you are. They don't want you to be any better than they are. One thing that I have come to know is that when you believe in yourself, it stops conflict. Any conflict comes from all the other voices trying to be heard at one time. And all of these voices are sending you mixed messages. And if you don't turn to your true inner voice, you don't know how to cope with them. There's only one voice that is the speaker of truth, and that's the Comforter. The Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what you need to know. Let that tiny voice come through, that tiny voice of truth, and let it become louder and louder. Develop the confidence that comes up. And the more you listen to it, the easier it will be for you to believe what it says about you. And the more it leads you past troubles and away from pain, the pain of doubt and angst, not being enough, and all the negative thought patterns the other voices and the other thoughts fill you with. Say no to the judgmental voices, even the ones that are actually coming from you. Voices that make you feel ashamed, and to stop being critical of yourself is the most important thing. Because if you look into the Bible, Romans 10:10 says that out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, this really does prove what I'm talking about, because your thoughts create your world. The feelings you have about whatever you are wrestling with at the time are coming from the voice within, from lack of knowledge of who you are. So if the voice that wins the battle is a good one, the one that is telling you that you are great and everybody is great, and when you look at someone else, you're seeing a part of yourself. So if you see 9 vices in your neighbor and only one good thing that you can say about that neighbor, concentrate on the one. Concentrate on the good. God designed us to prosper, not flounder. Evolve, not dissolve into a heap of disbelief. That's what we're here to learn from this earth school. And all the things that stand smack in the way of our growth and development are the tests we have to design for ourselves. We humans seem to need these things. I don't understand why, but we live to make life hard. The next time you have time to think of what to do about a problem, pay attention to what comes up first. If it's the calm voice, then you've done your work, and the work is paying off. But if it's the voice that blames others first or tries to force you to settle for less than you deserve, you have work to do. And that work starts with going back to the beginning, going back to Genesis, when God created everything and he looked at everything he made and he said, this is good. And if you think about it, God created man last. He set everything in position for you. He set everything at our fingertips. And we have to know this. You're the child of a king. You don't have to worry about lack. You don't have to worry about anything. God has you in the palm of his hand. And it is the will of God that you do good. Jesus came here so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Believe on him. There is no way that Christ himself would lay down his life for something or someone that was not worthy. You are more worthy than you know. You are the one that can do anything that you ask for. You are the one that we have been waiting for. You are the essence of God. Flow from that knowledge. Flow from God. Flow like your water and refuse to be a weighed down soul. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down and an encouraging word uplifts the soul. If you've ever felt blah for just no reason, nothing hurts and no one said anything to you, but you still are in the middle of some kind of a funk that you can't shake, there's a train of thought that states that even when we are not conscious of our thoughts, they create our now moments. And it's always now. Is it possible that any time spent ruminating on the past can ever so subtly come back and haunt you? The times when you don't quite feel like yourself, the times that you don't even know how to pray, just know that the Holy Spirit intervenes with groanings. You don't have to know. He knows. And he can talk to God for you. Because we don't know what to do. We don't even know how to pray. All we know how to do is worry. People who are high worriers have trouble holding focus. You can't pray, and you can't even meditate your way back. Philippians says, focus on what is beautiful and holy, and God will keep guard over your heart and give you a peace that passes all understanding. I think sometimes that we are just overwhelmed with our constant overstimulation. And since we have to live in this world, let's practice not being of it. Let's pray from the God we are instead of begging for something outside of us for help. That's what Jesus did. He released his Christ itself and in thanksgiving stated with assurance the existence of the desired outcome. I've had to do that a few times. Just here lately, I've had to do that. And I want to tell you how good God actually is. My youngest son was in a very terrible accident that quite possibly should have been fatal. I believe in the power of the word. And when I speak my words over my children and over my circumstances and over their circumstances, I know that God moves. His car looks like a crumpled piece of paper. But other than being sore, my son does not have a scratch on him, and I praise God for that. Because he has a family, new little baby. Everybody is depending on him. Now, will he go through some hard times getting back on his feet? Maybe not. If he speaks, and let me stand in the gap and speak over him, the words that I know that can be healing. And I have taught him how to pray from the God of himself. And right now, I have to stand for him because his mind is scattered. All he can think about is getting back to work and getting everything back on track. But in my mind, God set him down for a purpose. You see, he was overworked, and he had been doing everything, doing it himself, and not relying on God. If you see yourself the way the universe sees you, you can remind yourself that there is nothing more important than becoming one with the thoughts of the Creator. I say all the time, move your mind to the mind of the divine and let God work it out. Yes, he has to work. Yes, he has to heal from this accident. And in the meantime, everything still has to be taken care of, and I have no doubt. And I talked to him a little while ago, and he has no doubt. God has a purpose for all of this. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you feel like you're going through too much and that no matter what you've done, none of your tithing, none of your being good, none of your going to God, it seems like it falls on deaf ears. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that change what you think about God. Use your knowledge of who God is and who you are in the Father. You are the center of the divine mind of God. Everything is center. Nothing is circumference. God is no respecter of person that one person should be better off than another. I want you to know that what you think about yourself, what you dream about, you can say, God answered my prayers. God is there all the time. He doesn't pick and choose. If you talk to him in the middle of the night, he's there. If you talk to him first thing in the morning, he's there. And sometimes I just lay there and I just give thanks. I give thanks because I can lay there and give thanks. With the knowledge of who you are, speak about yourself. Know that God has put it into you. There is nothing that you need to do physically. You don't have to worry about controlling life's situations other than to speak positivity. Speak positivity into your circumstances. Ask that mountain to move. No, you don't ask it. You demand that mountain to move. God gave you that right. In the name of his mighty son, Jesus, you can ask and receive anything that you desire. He is the creator of all. This is the most important thing to remember. And you are co-creator with him. When you leave today from this message, think about it. Think about when you started to feel less than. Think about when you started to not like yourself. And change your mind. Change your thoughts. And you will change your world. And as I always end by saying, relax your mind. Release your worries to the God of you and relate everything within you to God. You are his chosen creatures. Act like it. Until next time, I ask you to be blessed, live blessed, talk blessed about yourself, and enjoy your life. It was given to you to enjoy. Talk to you next time. I love you.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.